Well, Gary, thank you for the sermon. Now we can all go home. It was beautiful. Let's go ahead. We can all find that hour of sleep we lost last night. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day to come before you, to come and hear your word, to come experience your truth. God, speak to us today. May your Holy Spirit burn in our hearts and teach us what we need to know. In your heavenly name, amen. I call this court into session. My name is Jeremy. I'm the Director of Youth and Young Adults, and today we are going to talk about the trial of Jesus, otherwise known as the trial of truth. Today we're going to see how people treated Jesus, but also how people treated the truth. We're going to all start from the same page. So if you want to look on Luke 22, verse 66. I don't know if any of you have ever been a part of a trial before, but as you're looking up Luke 22, I have been on jury duty twice. And I actually kind of enjoy it. But one thing that I recognize as I'm in the trial, they say, "Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God." Today we're going to see how that played out, because I believe the truth has been a part of the system since the beginning. In fact, the Ten Commandments, God says, "Do not testify falsely about your neighbor." The truth is important. So let's read Luke 22, verse 66, and into chapter 23. At daybreak, all the elders of the people assembled, including the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. Jesus was led before this high council, and they said, "Tell us, are you the Messiah?" But he replied, "If I tell you, you won't believe me, and if I ask you a question, you won't answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated in the place of power at God's right hand." They all shouted, "So are you claiming to be the Son of God?" And he replied, "You say that I am. Why do we need other witnesses?" they said. "We ourselves heard him say it." Then the entire council took Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor. They began to state their case. "This man has been leading our people astray by telling them not to pay their taxes to the Roman government and by claiming he is the Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said it." Pilate turned to the leading priests and to the crowd and said, "I find nothing wrong with this man." Then they became insistent, "But he is causing riots by his teaching wherever he goes, all over Judea, from Galilee to Jerusalem." "Oh, he is a Galilean?" Pilate asked. When they said that he was, Pilate sent him to Herod Antipas, because Galilee was under Herod's jurisdiction, and Herod happened to be in Jerusalem at the time. Herod was delighted at the opportunity to see Jesus, because he had heard about him and had been hoping for a long time to see him perform a miracle. He asked Jesus question after question, but Jesus refused to answer. Meanwhile, the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law stood there shouting their accusations. Then Herod and his soldiers began mocking and ridiculing Jesus. Finally, they put a robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate, who had been enemies before, became friends that day. So today we're going to start with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The three stools up here represent a different way of looking at the truth. Stool number one is the truth. It is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. We see this in the passage that Kent read for us at the beginning, John 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing has been made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." And then verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." John 14:6. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 8 claims even more about the truth. John 8, 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." In verse 32, we see the truth sets you free. And in verse 36, the Son sets you free. Jesus is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. His word is the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. And so as we go into this trial, may we all go in with an understanding that Jesus is the truth and that God's word is the truth. And with that in mind, if you would just walk with me through this passage. And let's watch how those involved in this trial interact with truth. How they interact with Jesus. Starting at verse 66. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Messiah," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer." The chief priests are saying, tell us the truth. We want to know. And Jesus looks at them and said, "No, you don't. You don't want to know. I've been telling you the truth the last 3 years. You don't want to know the truth. You want to twist my words and use them against me." And then he even says, "Even if I tried to get in a discussion with you, a conversation with you, if I would ask you questions so that you might understand the truth more, you still wouldn't answer me. Because you don't want to know the truth." And we see in chapter 23, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, 'We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king.'" Fake news! Fake news, everyone! Don't listen to it! You want proof? Turn with me a couple pages back to chapter 20. Luke 20, 20. "Keeping a close watch on him, they sent spies to pretend to be sincere. They hoped to catch Jesus in something he said so that they might hand him over to the power and authority of the governor. So the spies questioned him, 'Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right, and that you do not show partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?' He saw through their duplicity and said to them, 'Show me a denarius, whose image and inscription are on it.' 'Caesar's,' they replied. He said to them, 'Then give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's.' They were unable to trap him in what he had said there in public, and astonished by his answer, they became silent." Yet just a few chapters later, they're accusing him of saying, "Don't pay taxes," when that's not at all how he responded to them when they actually asked him that question. Once again, trying to twist his words, trying to have him say what they want him to say. And then the second claim there, "He's a Messiah." And then they add, "A king." Oh, because they knew if they would throw the K word around to the Romans, that would be a big deal. Oh, a king? Wait. There is no king other than Caesar. That's a big deal. Twisting the words to fit what they want. They make another accusation in verse 5. "But he stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." Who's he stirring up? Who's starting these riots? It's them! They're the ones starting the riots. He's not starting the riots. His people aren't going around burning down things. It's the religious people that are frustrated with this. It's the religious people who want to start these riots and make a big deal about it. And they're accusing him of doing it. Fake news. Is that a little too political? Sorry. You all right? Fake news. It's not true. It's not true. And so this second stool over here represents the religious folks. And I'm wondering if someone can help me out here. Because if you look at their Bible, what do you see about the difference of this one compared to the one that we'd read?
Covered up.
Oh, there's pieces covered up in it. Huh. There's pieces covered up because they want to pick and choose the truth they want to follow. They want to cut and paste God's word to fit their life rather than have their life fit God's word and his truth. So truth for them is whatever makes them feel good. Whatever they can agree with without it being too difficult. They like to say fake news, pick and choose your own truth. And then we move on to the next person who wants to interact with Jesus. Herod, verse 8. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him, dressing him in an elegant robe. They sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Just a little picture of Herod. Herod's dad is the one who killed all the baby boys 2 and under because he heard there was a new king coming. And now Herod Antipas, oh man, he liked to throw the party. He loved to celebrate. In fact, he threw a party once and his daughter danced for him and the dancing of his daughter pleased everyone that he said, I will give you whatever you want. And the daughter's mom said, how about John the Baptist's head on a plate? How about that? And so he gave it to him. Herod loved to be entertained. And that was what Jesus was for Herod, was an entertainment. And when Jesus wouldn't show him the flashy magic and miracles that he was hoping for, he turned it back. Oh, Jesus, you are a joke. You are no king. I can't believe anybody would ever believe, Jesus, that you were anybody. Because you're nobody. He sat there and he mocked him. And he made fun of him. And so, the way Herod interacted with truth was like this. What do you see here? Comics. It's a joke. I really love Family Circus. Especially here, it's got a dad sleeping and the little girl's tapping him. Daddy, aren't you too old for naps? Not today, honey, not today. It's a joke. They mock the truth. He's like, really? Jesus, I can't believe anybody's falling for this. It's a joke. And then there's the guy who's been put in charge to figure out how to put a verdict out for this, Pilate. A Pilate's interacted with all of these views of the truth. We see in verse 3, so Pilate asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? You have said so, Jesus replied. And if you would turn with me to John 18, we get a fuller picture of this conversation. John 18, starting with verse 33, it says, Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Is that your idea, Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" asked Pilate. Pilate engaged with Jesus, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And then he went out and he started hearing the voices. "Crucify him! He deserves to die! Crucify him!" He was hearing the twisted truth, the fake news that the leaders were throwing at him. And soon after all the screaming, he said multiple times, "He's done nothing wrong. I find nothing wrong." But after a barrage over and over again of half-truth and lies, he gives in and he falls for the lie. And Jesus is condemned to die. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I'm not sure about you, but it's pretty easy for me to see how this connects with our world today. As you walk this path of life, there may be times where you're tempted to twist the truth for your own good, or to read the Bible and say, "Yeah, but that was written a while ago, so is it really true now?" We like to twist the message to fit our own goal. Or maybe as we walk through life, we make fun of God's word. I don't know how you came into church today, or where your thoughts on God's word and his truth are. Maybe you do come in today and say, "God's word is a joke. How could you believe that? It was written so long ago, and so many things have happened since then. Life is different." But let me tell you that there's another way that you can mock the truth of God's word. That's by being ashamed of it. We mock God's word when we stay quiet about the truth. So today I just want you, for a couple minutes as we walk back down this road together, I want you to ask God to make it aware to you how you treat his word. And I'm going to do the same. I'm going to ask God to make it aware to me how I treat his word every day. Do you treat his word as a joke, as something that you don't stand up for? Something that you mock? Or do you treat his word as something that you just pick and choose what you want to hear? Pick and choose what you want to follow? Because some of the things in his truth are really hard to stick to. And they go against what the world tells me is okay. And so I'll just cut that piece out, or I'll cover it up like it didn't exist. I'll just pick and choose my version of the truth. Can I just say, warning, church, warning. Because if we pick and choose the pieces of truth that we want to live in, we're not only deceiving ourselves, but we are deceiving those around us to believe half-truths that lead them away from God. Warning, it is easy to pick and choose what we believe, but it is so dangerous in how we live. I always tell my kids, no matter who is speaking, whether it's me or one of their youth group leaders or a pastor, always check what is being said through the truth. Through God's truth. Trust only the truth of God. And if we pick and choose what to say and what to hold as true, it's very dangerous. And then we have the whole truth and nothing but the truth. God's word, complete for us. And one day we are all going to stand before the throne, and God is going to call our life into order. And we are going to see all the times we mocked his word and were ashamed of it. We're going to see all the times that we twisted his word for our own good and that we decided to pick and choose how we were going to speak the truth in our lives. And we're going to see the times where we stood on the truth and nothing but the truth. And before God, we are going to feel condemned and guilty because we are. Because we have not always stood on the truth and for the truth. But that's why the trial of Jesus is so important, because even though he was condemned, it was to be condemned in our place, to die on that cross and 3 days later come back to life, so that as we stand before God, we would have that payment in our place, and he would stand up and say, "Father, I died for that. I died for him. I died for her." And so today, no matter where you are in your life, know this, that we are all going to face the judgment seat of God. And when we come before God, if we go there alone, we are going to be condemned, and we will spend eternity apart from him in hell. But if we go there with Jesus, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, we will stand united with him and be forever in heaven with God. And so no matter where you're at today, God is inviting you to him. He's inviting you into a relationship with him, with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so today, if there is a stirring in your heart, I want you to answer it. If you are ashamed or you mock the truth of God's word, I ask that you would take a step and just actually get in a conversation with me or someone else who knows the Bible to be true. Start asking questions of the truth. If you are a pick and choose fake news type of truth, please take those blinders off of the pieces of the Bible and believe it all, because it is all true. And I invite you to be a part of the family of God. If God is stirring in your heart today, answer him. If you are feeling guilty, it's the Holy Spirit working in your heart, saying, "I am the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Don't settle for anything less than the best." Let's pray. God, we come before you and we admit that we walk our life and we fall short of your glory. But God, I pray that your Spirit will guide us into an understanding of your truth, the only truth, not a half-truth, not a partial truth. Lord, may we walk unashamed with your truth every day of our lives. Lord, if you are speaking into our hearts today, please give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you are saying. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us when we are ashamed of your word and stay quiet. Forgive us when we twist your word to to fit what we want it to say and to fit our lives because we don't want to be uncomfortable. God, thank you for being the truth. Thank you for speaking the truth. And Jesus, thank you for taking our place on the cross and for rising again in victory over sin and death so that we can stand before God clean because of you. We receive that gift today. In your heavenly name, amen. It's now an opportunity for us to encourage each other. To encourage each other in the truth. To encourage each other with love. And if any of you would love, if any of you felt a desire in your heart to go from mocking or fake news to the truth, I would love to hear from you during this time. But if you guys would stand up and welcome those around you.